Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. We're working through our series on spiritual discernment for pastors and Christian workers, and we're looking at how to distinguish true from false. And today's session will be about false miracles in the end times, and I'll explain that to you as we go along and how that can happen. Before we get into today's lesson, today's teaching, you need to grab your pens and your notebooks and your Bibles. I think it'd be great to take some notes. And also, just let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing on today's broadcast. We ask that you will spiritually protect this broadcast as it goes out, that it will be clear to all who listen. It will open hearts and minds and help pastors all over the world to discern between true and false. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what are the false miracles in the end times and how do they happen? First, before we even get to that, we have to decide what is false. What does false mean in spiritual terms? Well, false in spiritual terms refers to false spiritual systems, such as idolatry, witchcraft, magic, divination, juju, horoscopes, all those kind of things. They are false because they point away from Christ to the false powers that Satan instituted when he fell from heaven. And so before we can even understand what the word false means, I'm going to have to give you a bit of biblical spiritual history. As we all know, Satan rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven with a third of his angels. He was a worship leader in heaven, but he also engaged in much false trade and dishonesty. And that's what it says in Ezekiel 28. He was cast out because of his treachery, his dishonesty, his shrewd dealings, and he was basically ripping off heaven, it seems. He was at the abundance of his trade. So he's always been into money, into trade, into wheeling, into dealing, into greed, and into conniving. Ever since the beginning, he has been a liar. And he is the son of lies. He is the father of lies. And a murderer since the beginning. So that's what he's up to. He's up to doing evil, no good things. And he took a third of the angels with him, and he was cast from the third heaven out into the second heaven. And that's where he set up the religious systems of the world, the idols such as Zeus and Astaroth and all the idols we hear about in the Bible, the false systems such as Thor and the movies, all those things that they had and have been worshipped around the world. They were set up, and they were a copy of the things in heaven, but without the true power. So we know that there's a temple in heaven and all these kinds of things. Well, he copied that system, and so it was like the Jewish system, but completely different. So the Jewish system had a temple, so Satan invented a temple. And the Jewish system had priests, so Satan set up priests of Zeus and Astaroth and Baal and all the rest. So he copied the Jewish system, and there were sacrifices, so the devil had sacrifices to give power and ceremonies, but his sacrifices were of human beings. There were children going through the fire. There were abominations done and all sorts of sexual immorality as well, especially in the Greek temples and the temples of Baal. There'd be all sorts of prostitutes running around and having sex with the worshippers, and they led people into abominations. They led people into terrible levels of sin and destruction of their personal lives. And so this system continued. The gospel went around the world, and many of these systems were destroyed. And eventually, Satan's spiritual systems are going to collapse. And that's going to happen when Michael wins the battle against the angels of Satan in the second heaven, and Satan is cast down to earth. We find that in Revelation 12. But there was a significant defeat at the cross. So at the cross, Satan was cast out from the second heaven to the first heaven. And at the moment, he is in the first heaven, and he is the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians. So I think it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he is called the prince of the power of the air. So he's leading the rebellion. He's causing people to be hostile in mind and nature towards God. He is getting into the world systems, the media, Hollywood, and he's causing people to have minds that are hostile towards God and leading people into sin and rebellion so that people are imprisoned by demonic spirits into false ways of thinking. And he has every high thought and rebellious thought against God has a demonic origin. It could be in Freemasons, it can be in a religious cult, it could be Jehovah's Witnesses, it could be Mormons, it can be all sorts of New Age junk. It's all raised up by the devil against God. He wants to deceive us. Why does Satan want to deceive the nations? Why does he want to deceive the kings? He deceives the kings in different ways. He deceives them with glory and money and power. The kings say, this is the way to wealth. This is the way to get elected. This is the way to get this and that. I have to go and make a sacrifice in the forest to this man or to this god or to whatever. And so they get into one of Satan's systems. And Satan temporarily promotes them and then destroys them. So in their lust for money, power, sex, people make a deal with the devil and fall into his power. Now, it works for a little while, but then they're destroyed. They end up in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and all his angels. Now, the ultimate thing that the devil wants is to win the Battle of Armageddon. He is going to go to war against God. He is going to go to war against the return of Jesus Christ. He thinks he's going to stop the return of Jesus Christ. And at the Battle of Armageddon, he goes to war against God. He persecutes the saints. He wipes out the Christians on the face of the earth. So there are none left by the time of the Battle of Armageddon. They've all been raptured or killed. And by that time, there's no Christians left on the face. The saints are there on the glorious throne. And we get to the Battle of Armageddon. We get to the final plagues in Revelation 16. And we're all done. We're all out of the way. And he thinks he's won the game. He thinks he's got it all sewn up. And there is no way that the true worship of God will ever be established on earth. Earth is his. His Antichrist is in place. His beast, his false prophet are in place. And they control everything. They've got the 666 system going. Everything is working like a machine to keep things under the complete control of the devil. And anyone who argues with the beast is killed. Anyone who doesn't worship his image is killed. The system is absolutely totalitarian. And he is deceiving the world. He gets these people to accept the mark of the beast. If they do, they're thrown into the lake of fire when they die, and they are tormented forever and ever. So it's the aim of the devil to set up this totalitarian system, which he will rule over the whole world, annihilate all the Christians, stop the true worship of God, stop the worship of Jesus. So this earth will totally belong to him, but it's not going to work because Jesus is going to return and wipe him out and cast him into the lake of fire. His time will be short. But the devil wants to deceive everyone, and one way he deceives everybody is with false miracles. And three frogs come out of the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and these three frogs go throughout the earth performing false miracles to deceive, especially the leaders of the world, into believing that the beast is the true leader of the world, that he has divine power, and particularly the false prophet sets this system up. So false miracles in the end times are a very important way that the devil takes control of the world. One of the main ways that the devil takes control of the world, and it's seen again and again in Revelation and nine times throughout the Bible, that these false miracles are seen as the way the devil finally deceives everyone into obeying him. So this is a very important study, and you need to start looking at the verses. We'll get into the verses now. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, that's the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So what's going on here? What's a worker of lawlessness? A worker of lawlessness is someone that does evil and encourages other people to do evil. So these false teachers, these false people are encouraging people to worship idols, follow the beast, commit sexual immorality, be greedy, and disobey the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they appear to be doing miracles. They appear to be casting out demons. But in fact, they're false. Why are they false? Because they're leading people towards falsehood. They're leading people towards idols, witchcraft, idolatry, and especially towards the worship of the dragon, who is now part of the system of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So the image of the beast is being worshipped, which is really empowered by the dragon. And so it's the worship of Satan. They're leading people towards the worship of Satan through false miracles. And those people, there will be many of them. It says a very large number. The word many often means a majority. A huge number will be there on the day of judgment saying, I did all these miracles. And Jesus will say, nope, I never knew you. You were never of me. You worked lawlessness. You disobeyed my commands. You had spiritual power, but it was false spiritual power. Is there such a thing as false spiritual power? Well, 2 Corinthians 11 tells us about false Christs, false apostles, and a false Holy Spirit. So yes, Satan imitates whatever's done in the heavenly realms, and he does it in a way that leads people away from the true Jesus Christ, away from being born again, away from living holy. In Matthew 24 and verse 24, this is what it says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So here in the book of Matthew, Jesus is saying, there will be false Christs, there will be false prophets, and they will do great signs and wonders to deceive the Christian church. Not only the Christian church, but the leaders of the world and the people of the world to go and worship the image of the beast. And there'll be tremendous pressure on people to say, that person's got to be of God because they're doing these great signs and wonders. But the great signs and wonders will not point to Jesus. So they will be false signs and wonders. They might happen. The person might be healed, so the money might be provided, or a great miracle might happen. A mountain even might be moved, and talks about fire coming down from heaven in the presence of all great and mighty signs and wonders. But they're false because they're pointing to the devil. They're asking people to obey occult instructions. And so these signs and wonders will be pointing away from Jesus instead of to Jesus. And so they will be ultimately false. They will be pointing towards Babylon, towards the world system, towards the image of the beast and everything else. So you've got to be beware. Now, are there true signs and wonders? Absolutely. And the Bible's full of true signs and wonders. But it also warns us about false signs and wonders. Mark 13:22 is a bit the same. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Here, same thing, that the devil is trying to deceive the church. Okay, now let's go to 2 Thessalonians 8-12. It's a bit longer passage, and it gives us an idea of the context. 2 Thessalonians 8-12. Then the lawless one will be revealed. That's the Antichrist, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order they may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, look at that. It says these people don't love the truth. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, they're having pleasure in drugs and sexual immorality and cheating and lying and stealing from widows and being con artists and everything else. These people have pleasure in doing wrong things. And so Satan comes along with these false miracle signs and wonders and deceives them and drags them off, and later they're cast into hell for receiving the mark of the beast, receiving the 666, and they are tormented forever and ever. That's a terrible, terrible fate. But this is a strong delusion. So false signs, false wonders, false miracles, they trick these people who love to sin. So if people love to sin, they will follow after spiritual leaders that allow them to sin and encourage them to sin and say, oh, sin's okay. Just drop some money in the plate along here. And by the way, to confirm that I'm a true spiritual leader, here is a false sign and a false wonder just to keep you gullible suckers in line. So the coming of the Lord was by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. It will be time of display of phenomenal spiritual power. So spiritual power is not necessarily a sign of God himself. It can be a sign of the devil turning up with magic and juju and all sorts of tricks. So the devil is reserving a lot of his power for the end times, for this final battle of Armageddon that he has to win to have control of this planet. And so he's getting more and more spiritual power. As more and more people sin, as more and more evil is done in the world, more and more wickedness in high places, he's gathering the power he needs to do the false signs and wonders so he can deceive the people of God and destroy them. So the coming of Satan will not just be with red demons running around with horns and a spear. It will be in false signs and wonders. It will pretend to be Christianity, but it will be false Christianity, and it will be idolatry. And we've got to be very, very careful of these false signs and wonders in the end times. Now, what happens in the end? This lawless one is slain with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. So Jesus comes. He comes in glory and power, and suddenly the Antichrist is nothing. He's a nobody. He's dominated the world. He's taken it over. He's killing people left, right, and center. He's absolutely terrifying. Then Jesus appears, and he becomes nothing. He's slain. He's destroyed. All his power is temporary. We do not need to be afraid of it. We need to worship God. We need to walk in righteousness. We need to walk in truth. And even if we are slain, even if we are martyred, even if we go up to be the heavenly throne and wear the white robes, that's fine, because Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes back, we'll come back with him and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. But the Antichrist and those who follow him will be cast into the pit, cast into the lake of fire, and they will be destroyed forever and ever. So don't be one of them. Let's look at Revelation now. We'll get to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, 11 to 15. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. So, okay, this is the false prophet who has horns of a lamb but speaks like a dragon. It has tremendous authority, and its job is to make people worship the beast and to bow down to the image of the beast. And it has so much power that it can even cause fire to fall from heaven. Now, in the history of the Christian church, no one calls down fire from heaven. It's not something we do. And when the disciples said they wanted to call down fire from heaven, Jesus rebuked them and said, "You do not know what spirit ye are of." So we are not to kill people in the name of God. We are not to call down fire from heaven and zap this city or that in the name of God. That is a demonic thing. When people say they can run around calling down fire from heaven, they have that kind of authority, that belongs to the Antichrist. That's the wrong spirit. We're not to act like that. So great signs and wonders will come forth from the false prophet. Of course, the false prophet eventually ends up in the lake of fire. And so these great signs deceive people. And this false prophet has one job, and that's to make people worship the image of the beast, which, of course, is a representative of Satan. Now, the power given to it to come alive, to breathe, that sounds a lot like some perverse form of a deep artificial intelligence or robotics or something like that. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But it also has a spiritual dimension. This image will be very massive, very dark. It will have a spiritual presence about it that is awesome and terrible, and people will just automatically fall down before it, hypnotized by the great power. And if someone doesn't worship the image of the beast, they will be killed on the spot. This will be a terrifying end times regime, and we are to flee at the sight of it. We're to trust ourselves to God at that time. Let's go on to Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. So they are demonic spirits performing signs. So demons can perform signs. They can perform signs and wonders. And we see this in some places where there's very deep magic. There was a person in India who could make it rain and other such things. These were demons performing signs. Now, in the end times, that the demons will seem to be given extra power, that more power than they have now, and they will go out, and their job is not just to deceive everybody, That was the false prophet. These three frogs go out to the leaders of the earth to trick them to follow the beast and give their power to the beast so that they prepare all the leaders of the world, the rich people, the billionaires, the people that we would call kings now, though very few kings are left. They take the leaders of the world and they deceive them and say, okay, let's get ready. Let's get the nuclear weapons ready. Let's get this ready. Let's get that ready for the battle against the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to get every part of this world ready for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. They know the battle's coming. They know God's going to come with Jesus Christ. They know that they're going to have to resist Jesus, but it's going to be a military battle, and they're going to have every king on earth, and they're going to surround Jerusalem. They're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and they're going to say, we are going to wipe out Christians. We're going to wipe out especially Jewish Christians from the face of the earth. They're going to erase any trace of the Bible. They'll erase any trace of God, of the Jews, of the Christians, of the prophecies of the Bible. And so this world could be taken over by evil, greedy people running all the things that they do in Babylon. So they want evil, greedy, wicked people. And they think, oh, when this is all done, the devil's going to give me charge of this, that, and the other. And my dynasty, my family will run the earth for 1,000 years, 2,000 years. Our family will run the earth. And they'll be thinking of themselves, their glory and their power. They will look at these false miracles done by these demonic frogs, and they will be hypnotized. They will say, goodness, this is so powerful. Well, we want to be part of this. And these are demons performing signs and wonders. So it's not just God that can do signs and wonders. There's also demonic power out there, and it can do this, and it can destroy you. It can destroy your family, which is why you don't want to have idols in your house, or you don't want to have magic books in your house. You don't want to have negative things in your house that are going to attract demons to your house or your property. You want to be free of that. You want to burn all that rubbish. You want to have nothing around you that the demons can act through. So you want to be free of all demonic activity in your house, in your mind, and in your heart. The final verse we'll be looking at is, and the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. So these people are captured and they're destroyed, and they're thrown into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. So where do the false miracles lead? The false miracles are false because they deceive those who received the mark of the beast, and those with the mark of the beast, we find in Revelation 14, are cast into the lake of fire and tormented forever and ever. So why are the miracles false? Because they lead to falsehood, they lead to hell, they lead straight to the lake of fire, and those who accept these false miracles are the ones that are destroyed eternally forever and ever. So that leads us to the question, how can we tell a false miracle from a true miracle? Well, a true miracle glorifies God, the creator God of heaven and earth, and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and leads people towards holiness and obedience. If someone's doing miracles, but there's no call to holiness, to obedience, or to faith in Jesus Christ, then we have to doubt that person. They can do miracles, and they can even ask people to pray a prayer, but praying a prayer isn't the same as exhorting them to live holy, to live truthfully, and to walk in an incorrupt lifestyle, to walk in righteousness, so that they're holy sexually, they're holy with their money, they're holy in the way they live their life, they're disciplined, they obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, they're gentle, kind, good and loving, and they're walking in the Spirit. So someone that is doing miracles should also preach holiness, like the old-fashioned Pentecostals did, and said, you know, we don't want you to get drunk. We don't want you to sleep with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. We don't want you to commit adultery. We don't want you to go into alternative sexual lifestyles. We don't want you to worship idols. We don't want you to cheat and lie. We want you to work well at your work. We want you to be an honest, upright human being. That's a true miracle worker. Jesus did miracles, but he taught the Sermon on the Mount. He taught to turn the other cheek, to forgive people, to love your neighbor. So a true miracle worker will turn you around and tell you, repent of your sins, repent of every sin in your life, and go and love your neighbor and go and do righteous things, because that's what God wants. They will point you towards the will of God. So someone doing true miracles or to preach holiness. If they don't preach holiness, be very skeptical about them and look at their lifestyle. So a false miracle worker will often have a false lifestyle. They'll be very rich and greedy. They will sleep around with worship leaders and people like that. They'll have eyes full of lust for the young girls in the congregation, or even worse, they will have other kinds of relationships, which we won't talk about here because they're too immoral to mention. And they will dwell in the midst of greed and perversion. Their mouths will be full of cursing and iniquity. They will always be attacking this person or that person in ministry. And there will be no righteousness in their souls whatsoever. So the false worship leaders will work with the activities of Satan, and they will point not towards Christ, not towards holiness, not towards righteousness, not towards integrity, but they will point to lawlessness and iniquity. They will tell you, it's okay to sin. God loves you anyway. Keep on doing this sin or that sin or whatever you want to sin, and we won't mention them too much here. But they will tell you to remain sinful. They will tell you that it's just okay, and they'll put whitewash over your wounds. They will encourage you to worship idols. They'll say, it's okay to experiment with Ouija boards and alternative spiritualities. They'll tell you it's okay to go to the witch doctor or to get involved in divination or to look at chicken entrails or to sacrifice chickens and goats to idols. They will tell you that all these things are okay, and they are not okay. They are wicked. They are lawless. They will live an unrestrained life. They will do miracles by the power of demons, and those demons will inhabit them, and they will give them an unusual appearance. Often these people will have an unusual appearance, bulging eyes, this kind of things. They will be hypnotic, and they will take away people's willpower. A genuine person, a genuine Christian, will leave you with your willpower. They will not try and manipulate you at all. They will let you make your own decisions in your life, because God always frees the will, or God always helps you to make up your own mind. But the manipulative people, the false miracle workers, will always use high pressure tactics. They will push you for an extra offering. They'll ask for huge amounts of money, like $1,000. They will tell wild stories and work up your emotions and use loud music and all kinds of things and beating drums to overcome your mind and give you no chance to think. So you've just got to go along with their spiritual performance, and they will take you captive. And they will take you captive financially. They will take you captive in sin. They will take you captive in your mind and your heart so that you can't think freely or question them at all. They will never allow questions. They will never allow any so-called rebellion against their so-called spiritual authority, because they're false apostles, false Christ, false teachers of every kind. And you must not believe them. So when you see miracles, especially in this day and age, ask, is this a false prophet or is this a true prophet? Is this a false miracle worker or a true miracle worker? Always compare them with Scripture. Always compare them with Christ. Always compare them with true apostles like Paul, who are prepared to sacrifice for the gospel and suffer for the gospel and not just run around in a Mercedes-Benz. So that's our little session on false miracles in the end times. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.